the microphone what's happening today. So, who heard Jay's first announcement today on the Next Steps class?
Yes.
Food. I heard food.
Nice job. Food. That's all that Jay said. So, I'm here to give a personal invitation to all of our new folks to our Next Steps class. So, Michael and I have been going to Passion Community for like 3 years. For the first 6 months, we were like, why are we called Passion Community Church? Why do we invest in the Brookstown community? What's this Duncan Bible study that everybody keeps talking about and having fun? I don't have fun. And we didn't know who to ask. So, today, right after service, with pizza, it's your opportunity, if you are new to Passion and you're like, what is this church all about? Or maybe you've been coming here for 6 or 8 months and you're like, I've been sneaking in and sneaking out. Maybe I want to learn how I can get involved in what all this means. So this is my personal invitation to you. If you want to learn more about Passion Community Church and you want to figure out how you can get involved in all the fun that we're having, today is your day and we will have pizza. So I hope to see a lot of you there.
Yes. All right. Thank you. You can take it down. Well, a couple quick things, and then we'll jump in. Thank you, Kimberly, for that message. I do want to invite you to come and join with us. If you just want to know a little bit more about Passion and where we're going and what we're doing and all that stuff, I'll ask you, and you can tell me where we're going. No, I'm kidding. But we'd like to share the vision of where we're going with the church and how we became where we're at and just get you connected. So, another real quick, just want to give a huge shout-out to all of those that are part of the Financial Peace University class. I heard a number this week that I was like totally shocked. 21,000?
So we're actually up to $28,000 in debt that has been paid off in 5 weeks.
$28,000 in debt has been paid off in 5 weeks. That's a huge number, y'all. Y'all, listen, I get my southern accent. When we start talking about numbers like that, it's y'all, right? It's not, wow. That's wonderful. So congratulations. I just really want to encourage you. We will have another FPU class coming up after the new year, and would love for you to partake in that. If you need more information, just let me know or let Kimberly and Michael know. They're leading the FPU class, the Financial Peace University class. So, also, right before we begin, we're going to, usually I read our verse and then we pray, but today I want to begin by praying and lift up our dear friend Melinda Livesey. If you don't know Melinda and Denny, they usually sit over here. Melinda's actually in the hospital with pneumonia, and she's not doing so hot and needs some prayers, and so I'm going to ask you to just pray for her. I'll pray for her as well, but if you just remember to keep her in your prayers, they would be greatly appreciated, and we look forward to the Lord doing a mighty work in her body to heal her from that. And so let's pray now and open up the service, and then we'll jump into our passage and our sermon today. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for all of the wonderful things that you have done. And Lord, like we sang during worship, Father, there's two things. One is that I sought the Lord, you heard, and you answered. That alone is worthy enough to be praised, Father. But Lord, then the other song that we sang that's still ruminating, I guess is the right word, from my heart and in my mind right now, Lord, is that we have a lion inside of us that needs to roar, that the people around us need to hear. And so come on, my soul. Don't you get shy now. Don't allow yourself to fall back. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would empower us to do the will that you have for us today. To send us forth from this place, Lord, to do all of the things that you called us to do, to celebrate you. Lord, today, as we prepare to go into the message, Lord, we ask you that you help us to know who we are living for and why. And Lord, we also pray, Father, in this time for our dear friend Melinda. We lift her up to you right now, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would touch her, that you would heal her, even right now as we are praying, Father, and reaching out through our voices and through our hearts and through our prayers, Lord, that you would hear and you would answer and you would heal her. And that the doctors would be amazed because you're doing a miracle in her body right now, Father. So Lord, touch her. Touch those all the rest of us, Father, that need your touch as well. That's all of us, Father. But Lord, specifically, we call to you and just ask you right now to touch her, to heal her and to bless her now. And be with Denny. Give him strength, Father, as he's taking care of his wife, Lord. We love you, Father. We exalt you. We honor you and we praise you. And we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. We have been doing a series of sermons called Questions Jesus Asked. There are over 305 questions that Jesus asked in the New Testament during his ministry while he was here on this earth. I have thoroughly enjoyed looking over and speaking on many of these questions, but we've only just begun. Why am I singing that song? But we've only hit the tip of the iceberg, right? There's so much more there that Jesus has actually asked. But these questions that he asked require us to have an answer. And today's question is it is one of the most difficult questions that Jesus asked. It's not because it's a hard question. See, I want you to understand this question that he asked today is not a hard question. In fact, it'll be a very easy answer for you. It's a very easy question for you to answer. You will likely just immediately spit out the answer. But the reality of it is that this question that he asked is a question that's going to cause us to have to take some hard reflection on ourselves, to look into our hearts and our souls and our minds and ask us exactly, who do we serve? This question comes shortly after Jesus asks the question that we studied a few weeks ago, where Peter says to him, Jesus goes, who do you say that I am? Jesus asks Peter and the disciples these questions, and they answer those questions, and then shortly after that, we find some other ministry things that Jesus is doing. And then we find him come to this place. This question that he asks is also immediately after he does a miracle of the fishes and the loaves. If you remember that one where Jesus takes five fishes and two loaves. I think it's the reverse, right? He takes the fishes and the loaves and he feeds 5,000. It's amazing, but he asked this question. See, questions always seek answers. If you're here today and you've asked a question, maybe you've asked a question of someone, it's irritating when you ask a question and someone doesn't respond. I was in a texting conversation, not with anyone here in the church, just to let you know, so don't be looking around at Corey or my wife or Pastor Chaz or anyone like that. I'm not giving secrets on anyone like that, but I was in a texting conversation. I kept asking this question to this person, and this person never answered me. They would answer about everything else, but they wouldn't answer the one important question. And so finally, I picked up the phone. I said, I'm tired of texting. I called this person. I said, are you going to answer the question that I asked you? Well, I did. And I said, no, you didn't. You answered everything else but the very most important question I asked you. They finally responded and answered the question and said, I didn't really want to answer that question because it's causing too much reflection in my heart and my soul. And I went, that's exactly why that question needs to be answered. Which is why today when we read this message, I want you to understand that it's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge your thinking and maybe even your life. Man, I'm really putting this out there, ain't I, Pastor Chess? This is called a build-up, you know, and it's one of the things that pastors are told not to do so much of, because when you build it up so high, then if you underperform, it crashes and burns, you know. So anyway, but Jesus is building this up, not me. So I'm going to put it on him. That's the reflection as a good pastor. A good pastor always reflects it back to Jesus, not himself, right? So that's what I'm doing. But Jesus is asking this question, and it requires us. It requires us to have an answer. So let's jump in and let's read Luke chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 23 and 24, and I'm going to ask you to wait just a little bit of a moment before we actually get to the actual question. But let's read Luke 9, verses 23 and 24. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. I want to stop there, and I want to dive into this, because before we even get to the question that Jesus is asking, Jesus is doing some mighty good preaching here. And he's telling us that you have to deal with something. Before we can even talk about the question, you have to deal with what Jesus is telling you in these verses. And these are critical verses to the theology of Christianity. This is a baseline. See, many Christians like to make church, specifically their lives, their walk, about them. And the truth of the matter is that Jesus says, it's not about you. There we go. It's not about you at all. In fact, those verses that we just read clearly say it's not about you. Let me read them again, just one more time to make sure that you understand. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself. What does that mean? That means to deny. You want something? Guess what? Denied. Right? No, I'm kidding. The truth of the matter is, though, is that you do have to deny yourself. In Christianity, that's called being a servant. It's called following Christ as a servant. And so Jesus calls to his disciples and anyone that is listening to his teaching at this time. He says, if you're going to come after me, you must deny yourself. And then you must also take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, I want you to understand, Jesus has not yet died on the cross. And yet he's telling his disciples that if you're going to follow me, you have to pick up the cross and carry it daily. He already knows the pain and the suffering that it's going to cause to carry a cross. He's already proclaiming what's going to happen in his time on the mount there where they crucified him. He's already proclaiming the wonders of the cross before he's even gone through this. Now, the disciples and Jesus would have been very aware of a death on a cross. This wasn't new. The Romans did this as an act of brutality. But the simple fact that in his teaching, he's telling his disciples and telling us that we must pick up our cross and carry daily means that we must learn not to have things be about us. And then he adds, as if that wasn't enough, he adds, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Now, that might mean, really, that might seem a little counterintuitive and confusing, but what he's really saying is that if you try to save yourself, if you try to do everything for yourself, if you try to make it about me, if you try to make it about who I am, and you try to make it all about, it's all about me. I laugh all the time because my daughter has a young age, and I think I've said this before, but I'll say it again. My daughter at a very young age used to get mad because all of us at the table were having conversations and no one was listening to her. So she would literally stand up on the kitchen table and she'd go, "Listen to me!" But Jesus says that it's not about us. It's not about me. He's telling us to deny ourselves, ourselves and pick up the cross. The modern version of Christianity today, in my mind, has too often taught that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be good and everything's going to be paved. And the prosperity gospel has thrown a lot into this as well, saying that you're always going to be good. Just as long as you follow Christ, everything is going to be good. Jesus never once says that. In fact, he says the opposite. Again, pick up your cross, carry it daily. He doesn't say, oh, when I become a Christian, it's going to become all about me and whatever I get to do, and I want to do this and I want to do that. You know, it's really quick. You can quickly find out when someone is more concerned about themselves than anything else when they hear the word I, or me. When you hear that in their conversation, I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. I wish they would come and be nice to me, and I wish this would happen. And Jesus doesn't talk about that at all. He says it's not about you, it's about others. It's about being a servant. How can you be a servant to other people? How can you love them? Jesus teaches us that we should deny ourselves and become servants. What does it mean to become a servant? It means to serve someone. It means to put your desires, your wants, and all of those things on a back burner so that you can lift someone else up. As Christians, we are called to do that. There's no doubt you cannot be a Christian and not be called to be a servant. Now, you can be a Christian and deny being a servant, because people do that all the time. But to be a real Christ follower, to really follow Jesus in his ministry and what he does, it means you must die to yourself and become a servant of other people. That's not fun. It can be, and it should be, but it's much more fun to say, I want it to be about me. I want the limelight. I want the prizes. I want the presents. I want the accolades. I want all this. I. When in reality, we have to stop and say, it's not about us. It's about him. You can't serve others if you're serving yourself. The simple fact is this, is that you only have so much space. Some of us have little space up here. Others have more expanded space than others. But you only have so much ability. You only have so much space. And so if you're constantly serving your needs, if you're constantly serving you, how are you ever taking any of that to serve other people? If you're constantly worried about you and worried about what you don't have or what you need, then how are you ever concerned about what someone else needs? What someone else, how to serve someone else? If you're worried about you, you'll never be able to walk with Jesus in the way that he needs and wants us to walk with him. We want things. We desire things. And we make it about us way too often. And Jesus says, it's not about us. It's about me. Jesus tells us to stop making it about ourselves and make it about others. And more importantly, about him. Jesus, with no apologies, is saying, if you want to save your life, you're going to have to die to yourself. One of the biggest mistakes that I see in marriages today is that we make marriages all about us. And I don't, what I mean by that is that the husband makes it all about the husband and the wife makes it all about the other wife. I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. And oftentimes you have to look and stop and say, when do you have the best interest for the other spouse involved? When are you going to get off of that hamster wheel of I want, I want, I want, I want, and say, I'm going to bless instead. I'm going to choose to love my spouse. And I'm going to choose to meet her needs versus having her meet my needs. Right. Does that mean that your needs are secondary or less? No. It just means that we are called to be servants. By the way, it's not just marriage. It's not just in the marriage relationship. It's in every relationship. If you are in a friendship and it's all about you and your friendship and you never once ask another person or your other friend about them and how they're doing, then what good is it? That's not a friendship. That's a one-way road. This idea of servanthood goes to the very core of what Christianity is. I'm always alarmed, if you will, about the idea when Christians say, I don't have time to do service for other people. I don't have time to do this. You don't? Jesus had time to get on the cross for you. And he calls you to be like him. And he serves others. So then why don't you find time to serve other people and not make it about yourself? Jesus goes on from there and he asks this question. And the next question he asks is to reflect on what he just says. I want you to understand that you cannot take one piece of scripture and make your whole theology about it. You have to take the whole. Scripture is self-authorizing, but what it means is it authorizes itself with the whole totality of Scripture, not just one verse. One verse could be true, but it is in connection with the rest of the verses that it is proven to be true and proven to do all of things. So when we read this question, we have to take this in connection with what Jesus just asked, and or what Jesus just taught, and that is to deny ourselves. And so he asks this question. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Just in case you're here today and you're reading a different version, this is for you, Pastor Chaz. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? If you're here today and you're reading a different version, this is for you. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? Now, I just read this in three different versions, and the same entire, every version has the same exact message. They might say it a little bit different, but they have the same exact message. What is that message that they're giving? The message is, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and you lose yourself? There's some, we need to set some parameters here for a moment. And those parameters are this. There's obviously something that you can gain and there's something that you can lose, right? If Jesus says that, then what does it mean if you gain the whole world and you lose yourself? That means you can first lose yourself. I almost started singing again, Jeremy. But I won't do it. But it means you can lose yourself, but it also means that you can gain something too. There's a paradoxical, there's a weight and balance there, if you will. There's this opportunity to do both of those there. It almost seems superfluous, Diane. That's an inside joke. Sorry, we were joking about this. I was reading a verse this past week, and the word superfluous was in the word. I'm still not saying it correctly either, Diane, but it was in the word, and I'm like, I can't say that word, but I'm going to find a place to put it into the sermon. So there you go. But what do you benefit? The New Living Translation. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? What do you gain? You can gain the world. What is the world? We have to also understand if there's something to gain and lose, we have to then understand what is the world. The world is anything that is outside of Christ. The world is anything that is counterintuitive to what Jesus calls us to do. That is what he's saying. Jesus is saying, do you want all of this or do you want me? It's your choice. But to get me, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to become a servant to get me. If you want the world, go ahead and live. Go out and drink what you want to drink. Eat what you want to eat. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Do any of those things. That's the world. You want to do it? There it is. It's yours. Or you have me, which means you're going to have to deny yourself of those things. You're going to have to deny yourself of the worldly pleasures. You're going to have to deny yourself of the things that the world says is okay, but Christ says it's not. See, the truth of the matter is Jesus is trying to set up not just that there's a difference between there. He's trying to say there is something that is called eternity and there's something that's very temporary. The world is very temporary. This world is going away. It is dying. There's nothing here that's going to survive after Jesus returns a second time. If you haven't read the end of the book, I advise you to go to the end of the book, Revelations, and read it. And pray that we're not here when that happens. I don't want to be here when a third of the grass is removed, or a third of the trees are removed, or the earthquakes and the famines and the war and everything else that's going on. But the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter because all that is temporary. Those are things that when you... Do you know we spend our whole entire life, most people spend their whole entire life striving for something that's going to be nothing? Right. My father, when we were many years ago, they had a maple tree in their backyard and it had died and we had cut it down and he said, I really want to have an eagle carved into this stump of the maple tree. And you know, we are just, my sisters and I were just literally out of college and we didn't really have very good jobs and it was going to cost a fair amount of money to get this done. And so we worked and we saved and we did all that we could, my two sisters and myself, we saved as much money as we could so that we could have someone come out and carve into this stump an eagle. And we paid what at that time was a fair amount of money for three college-age kids that were trying to get married and all of these other things. And I watched it every year decay and start to rot. And I thought to myself, man, that's going to be there forever. When it was first cut, I thought, that's going to be there forever. And it wasn't until it lasted maybe 8 years. 10 years, and the tree rotted, and the wood decayed, and it eventually decayed into nothing. It reminded me at that time that the Lord used it as an analogy for me. And he said, this is the world. You spent all of that money. And not that he was, I was very proud. And I was proud of myself and my two sisters at the time that we were able to save this money to have this done. Because it made my dad very, very happy. And that was what he wanted. And I was really happy that we could do that. But for what? For 10 years of happiness? And that's being generous. The world will give you happiness for a fleeting moment. Right. But it is temporary. Right. And it will flee away. It will fly away. It will decay. It's going into nothing. It's going to become nothing. It's going to rust. Everything on this earth is going to decay and fall away except for one thing. And that's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because God is the only thing that lasts forever, for eternity. Anything on this earth is going away. Maybe it's age. Maybe it's other things. I don't know. But I realized that the things that I really desired as a young person, the things that I really, really wanted, don't mean as much today as they did back then. And I'm thinking, why did I spend so much time worrying about this? Why did I struggle all my life to try to accomplish all of these things when they really were nothing? I should have been spending my time trying to accomplish things for the Lord instead of the things in this world. This question that Jesus asked really boils down to our understanding of what is temporary and what is eternal. Are a few moments of joy here on this earth worth losing the eternity with the greatest joy that you'll ever have, that this earth will ever see and has ever seen? The temporary pleasures that we focus when we focus on these things in this world are fleeting at best. We must learn to view what is eternity and what is temporary. We must look at our lives and say, what am I serving today in my life? What am I putting all of this energy and effort into something that is going away? And why am I not putting that same energy and effort into my walk with Christ? Or being more like Him? See, too often we tell people, don't ask me to sacrifice or give up something today. Oftentimes when I'm having a conversation with someone who's not a follower in Christ and I tell them, I'm like, listen, you just need to come to Christ. No, I have to give up too much if I come to Him. That's exactly what I say. What is worth? What do you have to give up? And is the value of what you have to give up that much more important than eternity with Him? See, the problem is we weigh our balances on saying we want to focus on the today. We want everything to be today. I want microwave meals and I want something. I come home from dinner or I come home to make dinner. I got to be able to make it in 10 minutes or less, right? Because I don't want to spend time in front of the stove. I can tell you right now, listen, there is no good dinners that are served in 10 minutes or less. Amen. And I have the proof. Let me tell you. A good dinner takes a long time to cook. It takes effort and energy. So does your walk in Christ. These temporary pleasures that are here on this earth mean nothing. We must learn to focus on the eternity. We must learn to focus on Him. Why? Because Jesus says, if you don't focus on me, you're going to focus on the world. And if you focus on the world, you're going to lose your soul. No one likes hearing that. See, too often we come to Christ and we say, I want this, Jesus. I want the protection of the eternity. I want the protection from keeping me from going to hell. And I want all of these things. But don't ask me to give up my self-pleasures. Don't ask me to give up to the things that I have here on this earth. Don't ask me to do those things because those are the pleasures I want to enjoy right now. And I still want Jesus. Well, Jesus says, nope, guess what? You're either following me or you're following the world. And it's your choice. God is a gentleman, and He'll never force you into choosing eternity versus temporary. It is your choice, but you must choose. Do you understand? You must choose. So Jesus goes. Let me make this point because this goes right along with the FPU announcement and saying the amount of money. You know what? The micro example of the world today is when we want something. What do? Where's my wallet? Oh, here we go. Oh no, I don't have the cash for it. So what am I going to do? Let's see. I have this neat little Disney Chase Visa card, right? Like it has Woody and Buzz and whatever her name is on it. Yeah. What do? We pull it out. We pay for it on credit, right? Because I want it. I need it. I got to have it right now. I got to have. Listen, I'm not one for. Not one for clothes. I could care less. I mean, let me rephrase that. I care that you have clothes on, so please make sure you're wearing clothes, okay? Clothes are not optional at church, just letting you know. But I could care less whether you're wearing a hoodie, or whether you're wearing a flannel, whether you're wearing a vest that doesn't fit you anymore because you've gained a little too much weight over the summer. I could care less about any of that. But there are people that do. They got to have the new pair of shoes. They got to have the new pair of, they got to have the new shirt. They have all of that. So if you don't have the cash, what do? You pay for it on credit. And then what happens when you pay for it on credit? You go into debt. And when you go into debt, then you can't make the payment because you've paid too much and you continue doing all this stuff. And before you know it, you're so far in debt that you can't see your way out of it. Now, this is not I'm not here teaching finances. That's what FPU does. Go see them. They can teach you how to do that. What I'm teaching you is that that's a microcosm of the world today. Usually the people who find themselves in debt are the ones that want to and live for the world because they want worldly pleasures instead of the things that Christ has. Whether you like it or not, that's some good preaching. You just don't like hearing it. Amen. And I'm talking to myself, by the way, Tim, just to let you know, I'm talking to myself too. So listen, when we do these things, you have to understand that the microcosm of this is that the problem is that when you focus on the world and you don't focus on Christ, you'll find yourself in debt, you'll find yourself in this place. When you spend any time in the world, what happens? The distance and the look of how to get out of it and find Christ becomes further and further and further and further away. Why? Because you're so focused on this, and one focus becomes another focus, becomes another focus, becomes another focus, becomes another focus, and before you know it, you're so focused out over here that you're so far in debt, and you're so far out that you've never known how to get back to Christ. Jesus is asking us, what are your priorities? I'm asking you, what are your priorities? What have you placed in front of your relationship with Jesus that is more important than following him? And let me tell you, again, I knew as I asked this question, a very easy question, a very easy way of answering this question is there's nothing. Put nothing in front of Christ. He's the best. I place him up in the center of my life and I give him everything. Liar. And I say that because, listen, if that's the case, then why do you fall asleep when you pray? If that's the case, then why is your Bible sitting there with about an inch and a half of dust on it instead of it being open, tattered, and worn? If Jesus is more important than anything else, then why do you skip church to go to hobbies that you like to participate in on Sunday? That includes bowling, Chad, just to let you know, okay? Love you, Chad. If it's true, Jesus is either who he says he is and he's worth making priority in our life, or he's not, and that's a choice that we all get to make. Jesus says it's time for you to make, he's telling his disciples, what are you going to live for? Are you going to live for this world? Are you going to and lose your soul? And in fact, I love how, let me jump back there real quick. I love how he asks this question because he says, for what does it profit a man? He's not even asking them. He's not saying choose. He is saying choose, but he's preaching and teaching at the same time and asking via asking a question. Because he's saying, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? He just did a sermon in one question. I'm going to take probably 45 minutes to do that same thing. That's because I'm not Jesus, not even close. Jesus is asking, what is your priorities? This is in some ways the easiest question to ask, but it's also the most difficult question, because it's going to require you to look at your life and say, what am I denying Christ by living for this world? What am I doing in my life today that denies Christ? And it's not as simple as saying, listen, I hope that if you're here today, none of you are sitting here saying, I deny Christ. And if you do, then let's talk. That'll be a fun conversation. Let's go. But the truth of the matter is that no one comes openly and says, I'm going to deny Christ. We do it by our actions and our words and what we make priority in our life. That's what we deny Christ in. We will never say that I deny Christ in our words, but we certainly do in our actions. And so Jesus is saying, what are you going to make your priorities? What priorities are important to you? What have I allowed the world to become to me more important to me than why my eternity with Jesus is or is? I really messed that question up. Let me try that again. How or what have I made in this world more important to me than Jesus? That's the question he's asking you and I. We answer this question because we answer this question saying, I'm good. I go to church. I pray. I do this. Well, how about when no one's looking? How about those thoughts that Jay has in his mind that no one wants to hear?
You are not
wrong. let's think about it. We all have, listen, first of all, I tease Jay, but we all have those thoughts in our head. Are you? I think today, or this week alone, there's about four or five times that I literally in my head said something that I should not have said. Someone said something to me, I'm like, are you? I can't say that. Wait a minute, that's not right. Why? Because we don't think about it. And I had to, I literally had to go before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry for thinking that way. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Because I should have never allowed those words to gain its place in my, or more importantly, those thoughts to gain in my head. But we wrestle with this, we wrestle with these things. We wrestle with the world because the world is what we live in. The world is everything around us. The world around us is telling us, make it about you. Watch, I mean, listen, if you literally, I hate watching commercials, but as a marketer, you must watch commercials and read the ads and do all of those things because I came from the marketing world and that's important. But when you watch it, you can see, I challenge you to find one commercial on TV that says, go do something for someone else. The only ones that I've ever seen were the He Gets Us commercials recently. The He Gets Us commercials was a commercial about Christ, and he's telling you to do things for Christ, which are wonderful. But most commercials are, this will make your life better. Mm-hmm. This, if you take this drug, it'll take away your headaches. Oh, by the way, you'll come out with one leg and five fingers on one thumb and all of these other things because all the side effects, but take it anyway and it's great. It's about your priority and what you have made priority in your life. Jesus also takes it what I like to call next level priority. What he's saying is that it's not just, listen, it's not just coming here and saying, I'm going to deny myself, I'm going to deny the world, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to walk. That's perfect. That's a wonderful first step to do. But to lose your life means not only do you not focus on the world, and not focus on these things, but to lose your life means you have to be willing to lay your life down. The next level teaching that Jesus is doing here is not just simply denying yourself of the worldly pleasures. It's doing that, yes, but then the next level is to say, And I want you to sacrifice those desires and those pleasures to build someone else up. To help someone else in need. To provide for someone else. The comparison or the reason why this question is right after what Jesus says is because he's trying to get you to look beyond just, listen, we all know that going and killing someone is wrong, right? Don't do that. If Ben was in here, oh, he is. It's wrong to go up and just throat punch someone in the store, Ben, just letting you know, okay?
Not for Jesus.
Excuse me, Lord. You remember that message I just said briefly, that I said some things in my head that I shouldn't have said? I need to ask you to apologize again for that thought that came to my... No, I'm kidding. But it's easy to... to deny yourself to that pleasure of... That sounds really bad. To deny yourself of the pleasures of this world, let me just put it that way, is in some ways very simple to do. But then to die to yourself and become a servant for someone else, that's a really difficult thing to do. Because you know what? Jesus doesn't say, become servants to the people that you really, really like. He doesn't say, oh, become a servant to your wife because your wife is going to make your life happy and a happy wife and a happy life and all of these things. No, he says, become a servant. And he ends it there. I don't get to choose who I get to be a servant to. Do you understand? So if I don't like you, I'm still called to be a servant to you. If I don't like what you're doing, I'm still called to be a servant to you. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't pick and choose who he was a servant to. He was a servant to everyone. Does that mean that we have to stay in a place where we're being abused? Absolutely not. Do not do that. Please hear me out. I'm not telling you to put yourself in harm. But what it means is that too often we take the Christian road of saying, I'm a servant because I just give to my church and I bless my church and I want to bless their hearts and I just want them to... Try blessing the person next to you when you don't like them. Try blessing the people, your neighbors or your family members who get on your nerves. Y'all, we're getting real close. See, I just did it again. Y'all, I'm using y'all. My southern accent coming out. So... Y'all, we're getting really close to Thanksgiving. There's going to be some family gatherings that happen there. There's going to be some family members that come to your house that you don't really like, or that you go to their house you don't really like, but you just do it out of duty because it's Thanksgiving. How about walking in as a servant for Christ? Saying, I'm going to serve them today because that's who Christ would call me to do and what he would call me to do. It's not just about the major things in life. Jesus wants you to die to yourself because he knows that we are sinful. Our sinful acts, our sinful words, our sinful things will keep us away from following him. Why? Because our sin will keep us in our comfort of where we're at today. It'll keep us in this place and saying, I don't need to make a sacrifice. I don't need to go closer to him. I don't need to do those things because I'm just going to stay here because it's comfortable. I once heard a preacher say, and I wish I could take credit for this, but I can't. But I once heard a preacher say that Jesus never asked for comfort. And what he asks is never comfortable. But the United States Church, or not just the United States Church, the church, the modern day Christianity has made Christianity something very comfortable when it was never intended to be comfortable. It was intended to be self-sacrificing. It was intended to be denying yourself. It was intended to be a servanthood church. It was Christianity. It was intended to be a dying to yourself Christianity so that he could be lifted higher. What's Christ's response to all of this? His response in verse 26 says, for whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Do you know what Jesus is doing here? He's laying the smacketh down is what he's doing, really. But He says, deny yourself, become a servant, pick up your cross, carry it daily. Because if you don't, guess what's going to happen? You're going to live for this world. And what does it mean if you profit, if you gain the whole world? It doesn't matter if you have all these riches. It doesn't matter if you have all of these houses. It doesn't matter if you have all of these accolades and all of these things that are hanging up on your wall. None of them matter, and they mean nothing in the end because you're not taking anything with you, as the good Baptist preacher once told me when I was much younger than I am today. You're not taking anything with you. When you leave this earth, it all stays here. And one day, it's all going to be burned up anyway. So Jesus says, I could almost imagine, before I jump into that, I can almost imagine the people in the crowd going, what is he talking about? This is really, really hard preaching. This is really, really hard to do. And so then Jesus goes, I can see that some of you are ashamed of what I've said. I'm adding a little context to that, if you will, please. And he says, if you're ashamed of me, if you're ashamed of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. The simple truth is that if you live for this world, you're not living for him. If you're living for this world, you're going to be ashamed of what he says, because this world's going to tell you to make it all about you. It's going to tell you to do what you think is comfortable. It's not going to tell you to make a sacrifice, to put your desires on hold, to put those on the back burner, to do something else for someone else, to not buy that thing, to not reach out for that gratifying pleasure that you want and those things. It's going to tell you to go ahead and do all those things. The world tells you to do that. Go, do that. You only have one life. YOLO, right? I'm really old. I use the word YOLO. But the truth of the matter is that this is what the world tells you. And then God's over here, Jesus is over here saying, mm-mm, let it all go. It's not worth it. Stop living for the temporary when we need to be living for the eternity. Will you stand and will the worship team come forward? The truth of the matter is that we get so focused on the today and the pleasures of today that we lose sight of the tomorrow. We get so focused on what's going on here in this place. We get so focused on our needs, our desires, our wants, our pleasures. We want this, we want that. I want the new car, I want the new house, I want the new this, I want the new... We get so focused on all of those things that we forget about the here and now. I'm sorry, we get so focused on the here and now that we forget about the eternity that is to come. When we're focused on the today and the comfort it brings, it almost becomes impossible to do the hard thing that will benefit for tomorrow. You want to know how I know that's true? You ever been on a diet? Only you, Ben, would say no. Everyone else, this is for everyone else. If you've been on a diet, you know how hard it is to deny yourself of that wonderful, beautiful cake, that wonderful, beautiful bag of M&Ms. It's so hard to deny yourself of that. But you know that if you don't deny yourself of that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to pay. Maybe not exactly that day, but over the course of days, you're going to pay. You're going to pay by the weight you gain. You're going to have to pay because you're going to have to buy new clothes. You're going to have to pay. Okay, you get it. I know this to be true because of all the things in my life. Sometimes the most hardest thing to do in your life is to stop focusing on yourself today. Say, Lord, help me to make it not about me. Lord, help me not to focus on the desires and the gratification of today, but let me focus instead on the beauty of who you are, with my eyes always focused on tomorrow. Do you know why Jesus wants you to do that? Because he's more worried about your eternity, which is forever, than the 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, or however old you are here on this earth. What we have here on this earth is just a fleeting moment. It's passing. But what we have in eternity is forever. And so Jesus calls us, focus on that instead of this. Focus on that day instead of today. Stop losing focus of the kingdom of God, because you're so focused on you and what you want from the world today. That's the message that Jesus is really trying to give to us. And he's encouraging you. So listen, what I want to do is I'm going to pray, but in a moment, I want you to, just as we're praying, I want you to do some self-reflection. I believe already that the Holy Spirit has been moving amongst us and moving in this place. In fact, one of my prayers this week was that the Lord would just convict us of the things that we have placed before him. And he's done that to me, I can tell you that for sure. You ask that question and Jesus will tell you. He will flat out spell it out for you. Ask Miss Tanya, she can answer that question as well. We had this conversation on Tuesday. But when we focus on what we want, when we focus on what is right here and now, even if it's, listen, some of my focuses that the Lord really convicted me on is that, listen, you're missing out on what I'm going to do in the tomorrow because you're so focused on today. And I was so focused. I mean, it wasn't bad things. Listen, I'm not praying for bad things. But what I'm realizing is that sometimes I got to not focus on what I need right now. I got to focus on him. Because in that focus, when we focus on anything today in this world, in this place, our desires, our wants, then we lose sight of that tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we don't deserve the grace that you give to us. But Father, we stand here before you right now asking you for priority. Help us to make in our hearts and our minds and our souls the priority of the world to come, the eternity, the life with you. Let us experience that here on this earth. I know that we do, Father. But oftentimes our eyes and our focus gets drawn to what is around us in this world, this worldly pleasures, the things of this world, and we don't make the sacrifices that we need to make so that our life and our eternity with you could be secured. And so, Lord, I pray in this moment, in this time, that we would not be ashamed of you. We'd not be ashamed of making a choice to follow you. That we would truly become the servants that you've called us to be to each other, but most importantly to you, Father. Lord, may we walk out of this place not with a focus on, man, what can I do for myself, but what can I do for someone else today? Lord, may we focus as we leave this place, as we walk out into our homes and our places of business and all of the things and places that you're sending us, that we can look and ask you, Lord, what is it that you'd want me to do for you today? How could I be your servant in this place today? Lord, it continues to be my prayer that when we focus on you, people would stop seeing us, but they would see you instead. Lord, may our lives be so transparent that when people see us, you come shining through. Father, forgive us for the things that we have placed before you. Forgive us for the times and the moments that we have looked at what the world has to offer and says, man, that's so good and I want that. When we've chosen the world over you, Father, forgive us of that, Lord. We all have done it. We stand here convicted. We stand here guilty as charged, Father. But we know that you are the God who has grace, the God who gives forgiveness. And so we say, Lord, forgive us and refocus our priorities on you. Starts with a relationship with Jesus, a true, heartfelt relationship with you. And Father, you say in Romans 10, verse 9, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that we can have everlasting eternity with you, if we make that decision and we follow you, that you will meet us where we are. But that doesn't stop there, Father. It doesn't end. And then every single day you call us to die to ourselves and pick up our crosses. And so Father, if there's one here or watching at home online that has never said those words before, have never accepted Jesus into their heart, may they do that today. May they confess with their mouth that you are Lord and that they need your forgiveness and your grace. And Father, then for us who are here, those that have already said that, Lord, help us to realize that our salvation didn't end when we said that prayer. It only began. And it requires us every single day to pick up our cross, carry it, to become servants, and to die to ourselves. Die to ourselves in our relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships, in our lives, in anything else in this world that keeps us from focusing on you and making you the priority. So Lord, help us today. Father, I pray as we open up these altars that you would send people forth just to deal with their sin, to ask you to forgive them for what they have done, for what they have placed, more importantly, in front of you, Father. And praying that we can make priority you in our lives, Father. Lord, we love you, we glorify you, we honor you, and we ask you for these things now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
Lord, in days that you life again, I was thankful. Why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was salvation was only the Son. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, it's worth
were not made to be tending a grave. What does that mean? Those words literally mean what we just talked about. The grave that you are tending and that this song is talking about is the world when we live for it. Because there's nothing here in this world. It's not going to go forward from this place. Whatever you have, whatever you think you need, whatever the desires, the physical things that you have, none of that is going to go forward from this place. The only thing that's promised for us in eternity is a new life with Christ, where we will have everything we need. So stop tending the grave of this world and live for Him. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. We're so thankful for who you are, Father, and how wonderful you are to us. Lord, we pray that you just continue to bless us and help us to be a blessing to others, Father. Help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to leave this place asking, Lord, what can I do for others? And what have I put in my life that's more important than you, Father? Lord, I pray by only your convicting spirits that you would bring to our hearts and our minds things that we must lay down this coming week to secure our eternity with you instead of tending the grave of today, Father. Lord, we thank you for this day. We ask you again, let us be your hands and feet. Give us the wisdom, the power, the strength, boldness to speak the message that you have given to us as we leave forth from this place to go into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, Father. May we be who you call us to be and see your kingdom grow. We thank you, Lord, for all of this day. We pray that you just give us safety and protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Also, don't forget, the Next Steps class will be starting in about 5-10 minutes. Feel free to stay after, even if you haven't signed up. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week.